I have is, how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to enter this crazy, mixed-up world without losing our minds? How are we supposed to be agents of the gospel in this broken world without going crazy ourselves? Where are we supposed to find the spiritual stamina that will empower us and sustain us to somehow keep going in this crazy, mixed-up world and continuing to offer the love of Christ? Well, there are a lot of people today who are wrestling with a similar question. And they're all looking for that well where they can draw some kind of inner strength from. And so they go to a lot of different places. They go to the exercise place. And they put their body through some kind of physical routine and regimen, thinking that maybe this will clear away all of the stress in my body. Then there are others that turn to yoga or meditation, thinking that maybe through these meditation exercises, I'll be able to clear away all of the stress in my mind. And then there are some that turn to diets and try to purge their bodies of all the impurities that they have, thinking maybe this will make me feel better and give me strength to move on. Then there are others that immerse themselves into all forms of entertainment, thinking maybe I can just distract myself from all the problems going on in the world. And then there are some that say, well, maybe I just need to have more me time, because if I focus on me, that'll help me keep moving in this crazy, mixed up world. And certainly those things, kinds of things, can be helpful. And certainly they can be encouraging to us and they can give us some inner strength. But they're incomplete in and of themselves. In fact, I might even argue that really they're a mirage. They promise a lot, but they don't deliver on their promises. Because there's only one place where you can go to find true inner strength to move forward in life. There's only one place where you can go to truly develop spiritual stamina that allows you to live faithfully in this crazy, mixed-up world. There's only one place that you can go where you can be sustained on a regular basis to continue showing love and grace and forgiveness in this world gone crazy. And that one place is Jesus Christ. If you're our guest this morning, or if you're new to Southside, we're studying this series entitled Rhythms. It's where we're trying to look at ordinary, regular, daily practices that we need to have in our life if we're going to be a people living on mission. And we're looking at Luke chapter 10 as kind of our launching text. And if you want to take your Bible and open it to Luke 10, we're going to look at that briefly. But Luke 10 is the passage where Jesus sends out his 72 disciples to go on mission and to go to cities and towns and to heal and to serve and to bless and to teach in this crazy mixed up world. And he gives them some practical instructions on how to do that. And so what we're trying to do in this series is to take those practical instructions and try to apply them to our life so that we can have the same kind of rhythms in our life that the disciples had, the rhythms that will help us live on mission. Well, the first mission, or first rhythm that we're going to look at this morning is actually not explicitly mentioned in Luke chapter 10. It's not directly said by Jesus, but it's still there. It's just implied. And that is this, that as the disciples go out, they were to understand that they were to be directly connected to Jesus. It's implied a couple of places. One place it's implied in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, where Jesus tells his disciples, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. And so what Jesus is saying here is that as you go out, as you live on mission, I want you to understand that I am right there with you. We are directly connected. And what happens to you or happens to you is what's going to happen to me. If they accept you, they accept me. If they reject you, they reject me. Because we're directly connected as you go out. The second place where this is implied is actually in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is the parallel passage to Luke chapter 10. This is where he sends out the 12 apostles. Doesn't send out the 72, but he sends out the 12 apostles, but he gives them the very, very similar set of instructions as he does in Luke chapter 10. And I want you to notice what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. He says, when they arrest you, let me preface this by saying he tells them that they're going to have to stand before governmental authorities and that they're going to have to stand before rulers. And he says, when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it, because at that time you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Again, it's the same idea. As you go out, you're going to be put in particularly dangerous situations, but don't worry about it. Why? Because I'm going to be right there with you. Because we are directly connected. As you go out, there is a connection, and I'm going to be there, the Spirit's going to be there, the Father's going to be there, and we're going to be there to help you. I think the message sums this up really well in how it translates Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Again, that same section of those instructions to the apostles as they go out to live on mission. He says, we are intimately linked in this harvest work. That as we live on mission, Jesus is saying, we are linked. We are directly connected. What happens to you, it happens to me. When you need a time to speak, I'll be right there helping you. We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Now the question is, okay, well, how do we make sure that we are being linked? How do we make sure that that intimate link is strong? How does this all work? And I think a good passage that describes this direct connection between Jesus and us is John 15. And I want you to turn over to John chapter 15 because I'm going to be there the rest of our time together. John chapter 15. So in John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room. And he gives what we call the seventh I am statement. So in the Gospel of John, there are these statements called the I am statements, where Jesus gives some critical self-identifying statements, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life, or I am the way and the truth and the life. The last one is right here in John 15, the seventh and the final one. And I want you to notice what he says. In verse 1 and also in verse 5, he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now what Jesus is saying in this statement is he's drawing from an agricultural metaphor. He's drawing from a grapevine. And so many first century people, they had vineyards and they raised grapes. And so they're very familiar with grapevines. And if you look at this picture here of a grape plant, right down the center of the plant, there is this vine. I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but it's kind of brown and it runs right down through the center. And off of that vine are little sprouts and twigs, and it's off of those sprouts that the grapes come. They bear the fruit. But the thing that runs right down the center is the vine. And the vine is very important. It's very important because its job is to bring the food and the nourishment and the sap and all the things that the branches need to survive. It brings it to them. That's how the branches produce fruit, because they receive that nourishment through the vine. And so Jesus is saying, I'm like that vine that runs down through the center of the plant. And you're the branches. You split off of me. And as you split off of me, you bear fruit. At least that's what I want you to do. I want you to bear fruit in the world. And so it's important that you're linked with me because I'm the one who's bringing you the energy and the life and the sustenance and the food so that you can then survive and bear fruit. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And he says, if something happens to the branch and it gets disconnected from the vine, something bad starts to happen. Because now you don't have access to the food, you don't have access to the sustenance, and so what's going to happen is that eventually you're not going to bear fruit and you're going to die. So a couple weeks ago at our house, we had a tree trimming service come to our house and trim our tree in our backyard and cut a whole bunch of limbs and laid them on the curb of our lawn. And as you know, sometimes the city takes a little while to come and get up the limbs that are there on the curb. And so what happens to those limbs? Well, it's interesting because the first day that those limbs were laid on the curb of our street, they looked pretty normal limbs. I mean, the leaves were still green and they looked strong and sturdy. And then what happens over time? Well, it doesn't take very long, just a few days, and the leaves start to turn brown and the limbs start to become brittle and they're dead. They're dead. And Jesus is saying, this is the situation for us, is that you've got to be connected into the vine because the vine is the source of life and energy. And if you get disconnected from the vine, it's just going to take a little while. And before you know it, you're not going to be bearing fruit. And number two, you're going to die. You've got to be intimately connected to the vine. Well, how does that happen? How do you intimately connect with the vine? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in John 15. The answer is a phrase of abiding in him. Abiding in him. He says it seven times throughout these eight verses. Uses that word, abide. Notice verse 4. Remain in me, or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain or abide in the vine. That word abide or remain is the Greek word meno. I want you to say that with me. Meno. It can be translated abide. It can be translated remain. It can be translated dwell. It's basically the word for home. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be connected into the vine, you got to make your home. You got to reside with me. You got to dwell with me. Because if you don't do that, Jesus says, then you're going to be cut off and you're not going to bear any fruit. There's a direct connection in this text between bearing fruit in the world and being intimate with Christ. They go together. You can't do one without the other. You want to bear fruit in the world, you have to be intimate with Christ. And Christ says, the only way that it's going to happen is if you dwell with me. I want you to notice this graphic behind the podium here. Chris Jeter made this graphic and he did a really good job. You notice these little circles. These circles represent the rhythms that we're going to be talking about in this series. And the top five rhythms are all related to abiding or dwelling with Christ. So the first one is Scripture, reading God's Word, taking time to listen to the Word of Christ and letting it come into our life and our heart. Number two is prayer, spending time, quality time, talking to God, listening to God, being in the presence of God in prayer. Number three is a cross, which represents communion. Every first day of the week, take of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and we commune with Christ. He is here, he is present, and we dwell with him in those moments. The fourth one is note for singing and praise, and how in praise we lift up Christ and honor him. And then finally, we have a symbol of a church building that represents the unity of the body of Christ. And we come together and we spend time together because that's a way of dwelling with Christ when we're with his body. And these are just five examples of abiding with Christ. We could come up with many more. We could talk about being silent. We could talk about fasting. We could talk about scripture meditation and other things like that. But what we're just trying to show you is that as a part of God's people, we need to have specific time in our life, regular, ordinary time in our life where we are abiding with Jesus, where we are dwelling with Christ. Because if you don't, you're going to get cut off from the vine. You're not linking into the vine. Okay, so let's do a quiz. Let's do an abiding with Christ quiz. Are you ready? Don't worry, I'm not going to give you any of the answers to this quiz. You don't have to raise your hands, but I want you to take this quiz in your heart, and let's just see how good you're doing at linking in to the vine. Question number one, do you daily read Scripture? Do you have time every day where you are dwelling in the Word of God, listening to God, listening to Christ? Well, I have Bible app on my phone. That's not what I asked. Daily, are you in the Word of God? Number two, do you have an intentional time of prayer? Do you have a time set aside? Intentional is the key word here. A time set aside every day where you can spend time in prayer with God. Well, Steve, I pray all the time. Great. But do you have an intentional time where you're saying, this is going to be my time to come before the Lord and to offer burdens on my heart and to listen to Him? Number three, do you gather weekly for worship and communion? Every week we gather for worship and we share communion. And is that a part of your weekly schedule? For some of us, I know it is. For others of us, well, we get here when we don't have anything else going on. Do we weekly gather for communion and worship? And then number four, do you spend time with other Christians? Do you gather with other Christians? Do you have a spiritual community? Whether it's on Wednesday night in our Bible study program or our small groups, are you gathering with other Christians? So how are you doing on the quiz? Now, these four, I'm just going to be honest with you. These are pretty basic. You want to talk about spiritual disciplines, we can go a lot deeper than this. These are four pretty basic ones. And if you can't say yes to all four, you're not connecting with the vine. You're not connecting with the vine. And if you can't say yes, I'm going to offer a couple reasons you can't say yes. I think one reason is because, well, we just get too busy, right? We live in a crazy, mixed up world, and there's stuff going on all the time, and we're being pushed to do more and more. I get it. I get it, church. We're getting pushed from things to do at our house to things to do at school, to things to do at work, and we've got meetings, and we've got homework, and we've got this, and we've got that. And oftentimes, when our plates get full, the first thing that falls off is time with Christ. Abiding with Him. And sometimes we even justify and we say, you know, I'm just at this time in my life where I just don't have as much time to devote to being with the Lord and being with Christ and reading Scripture and prayer and all those kinds of things. I just got to focus on my homework, and I've just got to focus on this new business, or I've just got to focus on this task. And later on in life, then I'll be able to have more time to focus on those kinds of things. And if that's where you are, church, can I just be honest and blunt with this? If that's where you are, you need to be very careful. Because it's almost as if you are a limb that is on the curb of the street. And maybe your leaves look a little green right now, but not too much longer, they're going to turn brown. And you're going to start looking like the crazy mixed up world. And you're not going to be bearing any fruit for Jesus. Steve, that's kind of harsh. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said it in John 15. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You've got to remain in me. This is how we remain in Him, is by abiding and dwelling in Him. There's a story about John Wesley, who was a preacher in the 18th century in England. And he had this rhythm where he would wake up every morning at or 5 o'clock, and he would spend about 30 minutes with the Lord just abiding with him. And he had a preacher write to him and said, I'm just so with everything going on in my ministry and all the demands of ministries that I just don't have time to read scripture or pray or to do those kinds of disciplines. And John Wesley immediately wrote him back, and he said this. He said, oh, Ben, fix some time each day for prayer and scripture. Do it like God. And notice the last line. It is for your life. Abiding with Christ is not just something good to do. It's not just something that makes us feel better. That's where we find life. Why? Because Christ is the vine. That's what he's trying to say. I am the true vine. Here's where you find life. You want life, it's not found in other places. It's found in me. Spend time with me. That's where life is. And if we're neglecting that, we are neglecting the very source of true life. But then there are others of us that struggle, and it's not that we don't know that we need to have these rhythms in our life. It's not that we don't understand the importance, and we've tried to say no to certain things so that we don't get too busy. The problem for us is that we just get so involved in mission, and we get so involved in service, and we see all these good things that are happening in the world that we want to be a part of and that we want to do for the Lord, and we just get so busy with all those things that we just kind of forget about the spiritual disciplines and abiding with Christ. And I'll be the first one to acknowledge that this happens to me from time to time. My rhythm is that I come to the office and first thing I do is have time with the Lord, and I read scripture and pray and have some time of silence. But there have been days, I'll just confess it, there have been days where I just have too much going on, people to talk to, things to do, tasks to get to, lessons to prepare, that I just brush right over that because I just don't have time for that today. And maybe you're in that boat too. And we're a church where there's a lot of wonderful things going on all the time, and there's so many of you that are constantly serving and ministering and working and doing many good works. I think we need to hear this because we need to be reminded of what Jesus said to Martha. A little bit later in Luke chapter 10, this story where Jesus goes over to Mary and Martha's house. And Martha is, she's doing ministry. She's serving. She's getting the food ready, and she's cleaning, and she's vacuuming, and she's, if they had a vacuum back then, I mean, she's doing all of these kinds of things. And what is Mary doing? That lazy woman, she's sitting over there with Jesus. Can you believe that? And Martha gets all upset. And Jesus raises a question. What's greater? What's greater? And there might be some of us here at Southside, because we're such a working church, who might say, well, actually what Martha's doing is greater because she's working. She's serving. She's doing ministry. And Jesus says, nuh-uh. Mary has chosen what is greater, because she's spending time with me. Jesus makes it very clear, your life and mission will do no good if you're not regularly staying plugged in to the vine. Dallas Willard put it this way. He says, if you want to follow Jesus into his public ministry of ministering to the sick and the hurting and the lost, you got to follow Jesus first out to the desert and to the lonely places and spend time with the Father. They go together. Another person put it this way. He says, to abound for Christ, you have to abide with Christ. They go together. They go together. And our world says, our crazy mixed up world says, you got to go, go, go. And you got to serve, serve, serve. You got to achieve, achieve, achieve. And to just waste time, or useless, that's just useless time to sit and be with Christ. And Christ says, come spend some of that useless time with me. Because it may be that in that useless time with me, I might actually transform you. And so let's just take some useless time and abide with Christ. Let's pray right now. Lord, there are so many of us in the room, and myself included, that feel ashamed because we so easily forget that what we need first and foremost is we just need to be with you. And Lord, our world is crazy. And if we're not careful, it's going to make us crazy. And so, Lord, help us regularly just be with you and dwell with you and give us your life. Give us your love. Give us your hope. Fill us up, Lord. We want to be intimately linked to the vine because you give life. And Lord, if there are those of us here that we failed that quiz, I pray that this is a morning of renewal and repentance where we say, that is not going to happen to me. I don't want to be that limb on the curb that's dying. I want to be plugged into you. And I just pray for those that failed that quiz this morning that are in this room that you would bring renewal in their life starting today. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One writer talked about this dynamic I'm describing with a violin, and I just want to offer this as a closing metaphor. I'm not a musician, but a violin, I'm told, has strings that are strong and sensitive. On the one hand, you just pluck one of them, it's going to make sound that's very sensitive. On the other hand, if you hit those strings, they're very strong. And the writer was saying, this is kind of the way we are to be as God's people in the world. We are on the one hand to be sensitive, full of love and mercy and grace, but on the other hand, we're to be strong, having a faith that can withstand any storm that comes our way. But the question is, how do we stay sensitive and strong? Well, the way a violin stays sensitive and strong is that it's tuned regularly. Tuned on a regular basis to make sure that the strings are properly placed the way they're supposed to be. Because if a violin isn't tuned, you can play music with it, but it doesn't sound too good. But when it's tuned regularly, it plays great music. And in many ways, these top rhythms, this spiritual disciplines, abiding with Christ, it's the time when God tunes us. And as we let him tune us on a regular basis, when we get into the world, we play great music. And so maybe this morning, you need to be tuned. You need the Lord to shape you and to change you and make you right, to renew your heart. We're going to have our elders and ministers surround this auditorium, and I encourage you to walk with them. Let them pray over you. Let them encourage you. Let them strengthen you. And let God tune you this morning. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian, be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away. We'd love to welcome you into God's family. Just come to the front. Let's stand and let's sing at this time.